In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we get to experience the full force and fury of the preaching of John the Baptist. He starts out as in your face as he could possibly be. His prophetic mission is not about pulling punches or soft-selling his message. John has a word from the Lord, and it is going to be a difficult one for some people to hear. The fascinating thing about prophets is how differently their words are perceived by different people. A word will at the same time be comfort and threat, encouragement and judgment. And each listener gets to decide how we are going to receive it. So John begins, "You brood of vipers." Apparently, he is not looking to win friends and influence people. But he is demanding attention. What is his message? It's very simple. Your relationship with God is not a function of your background. The axe is already at the root of the tree. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on, or how much education you received, or what kind of job you work at, or where you live now. It doesn't matter if you come from good people and are prominent in town. It doesn't matter if you have status and stature and the respect of others. It doesn't matter if you grew up in this church or if your family name is embedded in the stained glass windows. It doesn't matter if you were a cradle Episcopalian or if your grandpa was a bishop. It doesn't matter, not even if you were a direct blood descendant of Abraham or anyone else who is known to be tight with God. In our reading today, even God's chosen people, even the Israelites, the end result of centuries and generations of God's special care and concern, even being an Israelite, is not enough. John's listeners understood this all well enough. And in fact, they knew what it feels like to be at the receiving end of a cutting axe. They knew what it means to be cut off from loved ones, from family, from respectability. They know what it is to lose a job or to be discriminated against. They know what it's like when relationships break down and separations happen. Being cut off comes to every life, and loss is no respecter of persons. So what is the answer to being cut off, to separation, to loss? John is very clear about that. Getting ready for the one who's going to fix these things means repentance. And repentance means to treat others kindly and humanely. Being sufficiently present to others to be able to meet them in their need. John did not say, go to church 3 times a week, give 10% of your income, and recite the Psalter daily. Not that those are bad things to do. But what John said was, do the basic human thing and share what you have extra with someone who has need. Now, this passage that we read about John the Baptist is striking It's bizarre even for the two special groups of people that Luke reports on. He says, even the tax collectors. Even the tax collectors. It's hard to think of anyone as disreputable and despised in our society today as the tax collectors were in Jesus' day. The tax collectors were traitors to their own fellow citizens, collaborators who grew rich by snitching out their own neighbors and siphoning off their tax dollars for the use of the enemy, the occupiers. During the McCarthy era in the United States, these would have been the communists. Maybe your television channel reserves special opprobrium for certain groups. Those are like the tax collectors. And what is John's response to these tax collectors when they say, "What should we do?" It wasn't, "Quit fraternizing with the enemy." It wasn't, "Leave your traitorous work and your immoral job." It wasn't even, "Arrange a work stoppage and demand concessions from the Romans." All he said was, "Collect no more than is prescribed." In other words, do your job and don't cheat or extort from others who are vulnerable to you. And if the tax collectors weren't strange enough, soldiers came to John. Soldiers. Who were these soldiers? Israel didn't have a standing army of its own. So either these were Jewish extremists hiding out in the desert committing terrorism and calling themselves soldiers, or they were Roman soldiers. Romans! What were Romans doing coming out to hear John the Baptist? Were they Jewish boys who had totally given in to the enemy and now were willing occupiers of their own country on behalf of Caesar? Or were they Gentile soldiers who found something attractive in this man yelling out in the desert? And what was John's instruction to these persons whose ranks would soon behead John himself and crucify Jesus like they were doing to so many Jewish men along the sides of the roads? His instruction was this: don't extort money. Be satisfied with what you get. John is telling each of these groups, don't just make vague excuses and unapologetic apologies. Repentance means action, but it just means practical ways of living that are just and hospitable to our neighbors. Now, I can understand how being called a brood of vipers might, offend a little bit. But for the people who were there listening to John, people who were accustomed to being told that they were evil and worthless and unloved by God, what John was saying was good news. John is offering hope, change, assurance that God would meet their very minimal steps toward repentance. In fact, John says, just you wait. You haven't seen anything yet. If you think that I'm preaching hot stuff, wait until you hear Jesus, the one coming after me. He is going to sweep up all your virtues and your hurting hearts into the safety of his care. And his words are so powerful that he is going to burn away with holy fire all the things that threaten you and intimidate you and hurt you. This coming fire, for someone who's hurting, is good news. This is gospel. This is what John proclaimed to the people. John was saying, in the end, it's not up to you to change the world. John is asking his listeners to practice some basic human decency as preparation. And then God was going to meet them in that decency with God's breath and God's power and God's fire to change the world completely. And that was the good news for which the people were waiting. Today we're drawing on to the latter part of Advent. Are you ready for the coming of our Lord with fire? If John's words of prophecy sound scary, then you may still have some preparatory work to do. But if you can relate to the crowds who gathered around John out in the desert, if you know hurt and heartache in your life, if you are ready for a change that will be out of your control and beyond the power of anyone to stop, then John has good news for you. Someone is coming who is all that and more. We wait in expectation for Jesus to come and for everything to be changed. Amen.